grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. Especially, we want to say a word of welcome to you if you happen to be a visitor or a guest with us. Great to have you here. If you're joining us by way of the YouTube live stream, we welcome you. If you're listening in to the Cathedral audio podcast recorded and after the fact, we welcome you as well. Just a quick note for those who might be visitors with us. If you find that the paper is a little overwhelming, and that's quite possible, I've even got more than you do. There's one panel of that green-colored leaflet that is the order of service today. But the good news probably is that if you're new with us, you can really just stick to the books today and you'll be just fine. So if you turn to the page in the service book and in the blue hymn book, really that's all you absolutely need. The other is helpful if you're able to use it, but don't feel too overwhelmed, especially, as I say, if you're new. I'd also just mention that those leaflets this morning, we are able to recycle because we're using them for the whole month of July. So at least the green part you can leave at the back and we'll use it again for later in the month. But you're certainly encouraged to take it with you if that's what you would like to do. Just a quick word about communion when it comes time for that. If you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you make communion in your home church, you're more than welcome to do so in the Anglican Church. And as we approach for communion, we'll come in two lines up the center, and you can return to your seats by the sides, and that will help to facilitate our movement. We do have gluten-free hosts, that is the bread. If that's something that you need, please just ask for it. We're not administering by way of intinction at the moment. That is, we're not dipping the bread in the wine. So if it's not your wish to drink from the common chalice, you don't need to do that. You can receive the bread only. And if you would not necessarily want to make communion but would like to come forward as a member of the family of God, placing your arms in this way will indicate that you're requesting a blessing. And just one thing that I would add to what you will find there in notices this week is that Doug Mylander has requested that we remember him in our prayers. Doug's got a fairly significant issue in terms of health and has been waiting for several weeks for some testing, and that's going to go ahead this coming week, but would certainly covet your prayers, so if you could remember him. And is there anything else that needs announcing? Today we're using the green-colored Book of Alternative Services, so you should be able to find that there in your pew. And we continue now with the Glory to God, which you'll find on page 186. Page 186.
We give you thanks. us until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service, and in the world to come see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Amos. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting the plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel surely go into exile away from its land. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The text of the psalm that responds to the first reading you'll find in the Book of Alternative Services on page 815, Psalm 82, page 815. Psalm 82, and we'll continue seated and read by alternate verses. God takes his stand in the council of heaven. He gives judgment in the midst of the gods.
How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked?
Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and needy.
Rescue the weak and the poor, deliver them from the power of the wicked.
They do not know, neither do they understand. They go about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
Now I say to you, you are gods, and all which you children of the Most High.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals, and fall like any prince.
Arise, O God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of Christ.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As Luke tells the story, a lawyer approached Jesus with a question in order to test him. The question was about what he would have to do to inherit eternal life. And that's a good question. Probably one that we all need to ask. Jesus prompts him, and he accurately cites the Old Testament law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer's response, although comfortable, proved unsettling. He was troubled, it seems, by the use of the word neighbor. So he asks Jesus to define the term. And Jesus does so with a parable. The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, it's without doubt the lawyer was looking for loopholes. I guess that was an important aspect of his profession, and maybe it is for lawyers still. He tried to test Jesus, but the query backfired. And instead, it was he who was tested. Jesus was so skillful in taking one question asked and redirecting it into another new and more significant one. To whom is eternal life granted? To those who truly love God and thus show love for neighbors in a way equal to love for the self and the self-interest. The point of the answer was relatively simple. That our love for God needs to be integrated with our love for others. One or the other by itself is just not enough. At least, not enough to expect eternal life. When Jesus suggested such a straightforward and efficient answer, the cultural stereotypes around the term neighbor immediately made the lawyer begin to struggle. But who is my neighbor? Was his new question. And we struggle with a similar problem. Without a clear, unclouded definition of who a neighbor is, the summary of the law can have very little meaning for us. Love your neighbor as yourself, it says. But who is that? I've often heard people in reference to this particular biblical text say, well, I wave to the guy across the street every morning when he walks his dog. I took a casserole next door to Mrs. So-and-so last March when her husband died. I watch Mr. This or That's window blind every morning to make sure that he's gotten up okay. I guess I fulfill the thrust of that little passage of the Bible quite nicely. Thank you very much. I'm a neighborly kind of person. We have a friendly little neighborhood. We do. And knowing that I run the risk of destroying your definition, let me say this. I don't think Jesus was talking about the person who happens to live beside you when he used the word neighbor. And the evidence for that is clear in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We often also have difficulty hearing the real message of this nice little story from the Gospel of Luke. The Good Samaritan was probably one of the first stories we heard in Sunday school. We learned that we should have a warm, fuzzy feeling when we help someone out. It's good to help others. I think we need to be careful that we're not just helping others to make ourselves feel better. But it's a good thing. Do a good turn to somebody every day. I remember was the cub promise. Remember Boy Scouts and Wolf Cubs? I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God and the Queen, to keep the law of the Wolf Cub pack, and to do a good turn to somebody every day. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a fine goal. But wolf cubs become Boy Scouts, and eventually they all become mature members of society. And unfortunately, for far too many, That's as deep as we've ever looked into the parable. We still have a Sunday school understanding of what Jesus was saying when he began with the words, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." The point of the parable is that the man lying beaten on the side of the road didn't live beside or even in the neighborhood of any of those who encountered him on the road. He was probably a Jew. Those who beat him were probably Jews. Their motive could be summarized as, "What you have is mine, and I will grab it." Two of the passersby were Jews. They did live in the religious and social neighborhood of the man in the ditch. But those two travelers ignored the anonymous victim. The priest, whose task it was to represent humanity to God, respected ceremonial purity. The Levite, whose birthright brought him into the inner sanctum of temple worship, respected compulsory ritual. Both, no doubt, had something important to do. They obviously weren't just out for an afternoon stroll. But neither was willing to make contact with the victim. Both committed a sin of omission by deliberately ignoring the desperate needs of flesh and blood. Their motives could be summarized as, "What's mine is mine, and I will keep it." It seems they failed to understand a crucial integration between love for God and love for others. But the one who did stop was a Samaritan. Now, Samaritan was not his name. It was his nationality. It was where he was from, how he was identified. He was considered a half-breed and a reviled heretic. Jews hated Samaritans. And I think it's probably safe to assume that Samaritans also hated Jews. So he was an unlikely hero in the story. He was not in the religious or social neighborhood of the victim. Quite the opposite. By all social standards, a Samaritan was definitely not a neighbor to a Jew. We hear nothing of the situation of the Samaritan. Was he already laden with debt? Was he rushing to be somewhere at a certain time? What obligations did he have? The point here is that his compassion was not delayed by legal technicalities, cultural precedents, or personal preoccupations or burdens. And I find myself constantly reminded of this parable when the telephone rings, as it sometimes does, and I'm just on my way out the door, as I sometimes am, to an appointment or a meeting. And seldom is one of those calls from a beaten traveler. But almost always, it's someone on the other end who wants or needs something. So not only did the Samaritan stop, He didn't only bind his wounds and provide him with some shelter. He lavished love akin to the love of God on a beaten stranger, one who every social, moral, and religious standard dictated that he show hatred. His motives could be summarized as, "What's mine is yours, and I will share it." He went far out of his way to attend to the needs of not a neighbor in the social and cultural sense, but a stranger. The stranger was considered a neighbor. And that's the point of the parable. The one element that links love of God to love of neighbor, Jesus adds on the end, is mercy. Mercy, by definition, is compassion shown to another who is in an inferior position of power or care. The lawyer had asked how to obtain eternal life. Jesus brought him to a recognition of the importance of mercy. And so it could be argued that all three loved God. Only the Samaritan showed mercy and loved his neighbor as himself. Without love for God, the love for others is a mere reaction, simply a repayment. Someone is nice to us, so we return the favor. And we're nice to someone else because we'd like to see the favor returned. There are a lot of folks in the world who act in astounding humanitarian ways. But we might need to ask ourselves the question, does the motivation matter? Is Christian faith just another name for being a humanitarian? I don't think so. But without love for others, the love for God is hypocritical. We make a claim, but we don't intend to uphold it. Jesus concludes his parable by repeating the mandate to compassionate action. Which of these do you think, he says, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Amen. And the next stop in the Green Book of Alternative Services is the Nicene Creed, and you'll find that on page 188, beginning about halfway down the page. Page 188. And I'll ask you to stand. Let us confess our faith as we say. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, the human being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Many people's needs press upon our daily lives and fill our daily news. That we may respond as neighbors, let us ask the Lord for help answering, Lord, in your mercy, with hear our prayer. Help us to be neighbors to strangers, to people of every land and tongue and culture. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us in our support of the global Christian Church, in our own Anglican Communion, today the Church of North India, their Archbishop and Primate, in our province the Diocese of Eastern Newfoundland and Labrador, and Sam their Bishop, for David our Bishop and Metropolitan, and Matthias Bishop of Hull. Pray for the office of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Charles our King, and Shane our Primate, giving thanks for our freedoms in faith and remembering those persecuted for what they believe. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be neighbors to all who suffer, the lonely, the sick, and the sorrowing, especially Donna, Charles, and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Judy, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Janice, Dolph, David, Maureen, Heather, Carol, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, all those who have asked us to pray for them, those we have forgotten, and those who have no one to pray for them, do, Lord, remember. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be neighbors to people of every creed, to both Christian and Muslim, Jew and Hindu, Buddhist and atheist. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be neighbors to the enemy, the alien, the despised, those with whom we disagree. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be neighbors to everyone we pass on the road, to salespeople, co-workers, family, and passers-by. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be neighbors to one another, and thus to share our lives as we share your word and your supper. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you formed us in love. You command us to live in your love. Hear the prayers we make in the name of the Son you sent to dwell among us, the neighbor who is attentive to all our needs, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
At the middle of page 191, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Father, your word creates in us a yearning for your kingdom. Receive all we offer you this day and keep us in your peace for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During the Eucharistic prayer, you're welcome and even encouraged to remain standing. If you find that you need to be seated or you would rather kneel, you're certainly always welcome to do so. The Eucharistic prayer is number 1 on page 193. Page 193.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God. For you created all things. You formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaim the good news of your kingdom. To the poor and to those in need, in all things he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we stand, let us pray. Living God, in this sacrament we have shared in your eternal kingdom, may we who taste this mystery forever serve you in faith, hope, and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Let us depart.